In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. During this week, we started a series of sermons about one question. So please give me your attention. We try to answer the question today. The question is, who do you say that I am? This question the Lord Jesus asked his disciples in the book of Mark, in chapter 8, verse 29. In the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 20, and the book of Matthew, in chapter 16, in verses 15 and 16. And in the last few days, I asked 8 questions to help you how to answer God that question. And just quickly, the 8 questions were, what is God calling you to do? What are you doing to welcome the Lord Jesus into your house and into your life and into your heart, into your mind? The third question is your life a praise to God? Number 4, are you ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that you have in Jesus as Lord? Number 5, God's house is to be the house of prayer. So what are you doing to make it a house of prayer? As he said in the book of Isaiah, God's house is to be full of people from all backgrounds, from all ethnicity, from all economic levels, poor, rich, good and bad. So what are you doing to invite and welcome everybody to God's house? Or are you separating yourself from your brothers and sisters, looking at some of them to be much lower than your level? They are not worthy to be your brothers or sister, or maybe they do not deserve to sit and eat with them, and you put yourself on a higher status more than your brethren. God's house is a house of power. So what are you doing to make sure lives are changed through his house, through the power of God, the owner of the house? And the 8th question was, God's house is the house of praise. So what are you doing to ensure that praise is given to the one who deserves praise? Are we coming to church to praise or for social activity, to meet with friends? Because we have no one can share our culture and our friendship, so the church becomes like a place for just meeting, not for praising God for all what we have, where we should thank God for all the gifts that we have. And the first gift is yourself. To be a person that created on God's image and likeness, this is something that you should thank God for, and you come to his house to praise him and tell him, God, I am not worthy to make me what I am. Thank you for making me what I am, and help me to spend the rest of my life to worship you, to praise you. And as you noticed from yesterday and today, there is so much events are going on, and I'm going to add 4 more questions to help you to really get to know exactly who Jesus is. Is he Lord, or is he someone that you can enjoy from a distance? Is he someone that you admire as a leader? Is he someone to admire as a prophet, as a king, as a judge, or as a God, or a friend? And if you remember, for example, on Thursday night, after the Last Supper, the Lord Jesus and all the 11 disciples, I mention only 11 because, as you know, Judas left the whole group and went to plot against God and betrayed him. But the Lord took the 11 disciples and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And on the way, the Lord said they would abandon him. They would leave him alone. And that becomes a very critical question to every Christian. Would you deny the Lord as Peter did? Would you leave him alone and leave his house without being an active member of his house and telling him that I really love you so much, and the least I would do is to come serve you and serve your house? So if you really believe that Jesus is Lord, you would look at the final moments, which I will cover in a few minutes here, and we try to understand how much God showed his love to you, because if you can see that love, you would be able to really admit and confess that he is God and he is Lord, and he is the only one that should rule over your life. The first question I would like to ask today, if Jesus is Lord, do you really see his agony for your sins? Or do you feel that you are not sinful and you are a righteous person and you don't need a God who can really interfere into your life and come in and dwell in your heart and becomes the owner and the king who will reign over your life? As you know that the Lord knew all the time that his life will end by the hands of his own people. The Jewish people are his own, and he used to say his own. And in the book of John chapter 1, he says he came to his own and his own rejected him. Please think about this for a minute. His own now are us, the Christians. And not to make it so difficult, but the truth is we are acting exactly like the Jews. We are leaving him alone, and we are causing so much of agony to God. When he gives us some commandments and we ignore the commandments because it doesn't fit our mind of the 21st century. We read the Bible and we have so many teaching, but that doesn't work with us because we learn something else in school. And he has done so much for us, and we don't feel that this is right because we have the society outside where we have to meet. We have to talk with them, we have to drink their drink, and we have to dress their dress. Otherwise, we will be different. And I said it many, many times that we must feel that we are different because we are his children. We are his sons and daughters. And if he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, what that makes his children? They would be, of course, a royal family. And the Lord went through struggle all his life from the time he was born, when he ran away from the face of Herod, and after his supposed to be like a father, which is Joseph, he's not his biological father, but as elders who consider him to be a father, he died when the Lord was at the age of 16. And he continued the work as a carpenter to take care of his mother. And then when he reached the age of 30, he continued his ministry. And you know the rest of the story, how much he suffered from his own people, from the teachers, from the scribes, from the priest and the high priest. And that's why on Gethsemane, he said, like in the book of Matthew in chapter 26, in verse 39, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And you wonder about this cup, what kind of cup is God asking not to have and let it pass away from him? It is nothing more than the agony of our sin. The Lord Jesus was even teaching us in Gethsemane how to pray when you are in tribulations or hard time or having an agony. And he was praying, of course, to teach us how to pray. And when he said, "Let it be your will," to teach us also when we pray, we must, in our prayer, say, "Let it be your will. I say what I want, I should." God said, "Ask first for the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all of this will be added to you." Meaning you can ask for anything you want. But here is one condition that we all forget, that it must be according to God's will. God's will. And that's what God meant from this statement. "Not as I will, but as you will," the Father. So he is teaching us when you pray, ask God to have his will. And he taught us in the Lord Prayer when we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," we always say, "Your will be done." We want God's will, not our will. Because the truth is we do not know what is right for us and what's wrong. So when you experience this agony, you must make sure that you are asking God for his will, not yours. Making sure that God understands the agony that you go through, the tribulations, the temptation that goes through. It is like some father expressed it, that you need to line up your will with God. And one of the fathers was giving a sermon, and he said something nicely. He said, it is like having braces for your teeth. It may be painful to line up your teeth, but when you wait to the end, you would know the perfection that happened to you, and you became in good shape. So we must say what the Lord has taught us, your will be done. This could be the mark of a true Christian. And you must be able to share with him. So if you believe that he is God, and he went through the suffering that he went through for you, he should be able to carry your sin, and carry your agony, and carry your trouble and tribulations, because he loves you so much, and that's why he died on the cross for you. So the question is, do you believe that he can do all of this for you? Do you believe that he is God, or just a name? Do you believe that he really died on the cross for you, or like others, non-Christian, who say, maybe not? So what do you believe in? The second question, if Jesus is Lord, do you want to be with him all the time, or to leave him alone and ignore him? Remember what happened when the Lord took the 11 disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane? The Bible says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. You would wonder why God only took Peter and John and James. Why is that? Can God have some people whom he loves and some others whom he does not love? It is us, we show him if we love him or not. For example, you can find in the church, people are serving, and they love to come and ask, what can I do to help? Because they offer to help. You find the priest is asking them all the time, why don't you come go and visit somebody who is sick? Why don't we go and visit someone in distress or for whatever reason? So it is not because the father had like partiality here, but because they offered to come. Peter, John, and James, they loved God so much, and they always went with him. If you remember, for example, they went with him when he raised Jairus' daughter. They went with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. They always were with him. So are you one of those who go with him, or like what happened, as you heard in the Gospel today, when the soldiers came and they arrested him, everybody ran away. Everyone ran away, and he stood by himself. Are you beside God, or are you not? I told you before many times about the book of Numbers in chapter 25, about how many of the Israelites got mingled with the Moabites, and they tried to bring in all the bad cultures from outside, and the worship of idols, and committing adultery. Only one priest, his name was Phinehas, and he was the only one who went and stopped that by killing the man and woman who dared to go inside the temple and commit adultery. And please listen what happened. God said, Phinehas had my zeal. My zeal. So if you do it, you have the zeal of God. And because of this, God blessed him and all his inheritance and his children and everybody who comes after him. So are you leaving God alone, and you think that he will not find anyone to worship him and praise him? Or you feel that feeling that everybody is standing against God, and you tell him, no, God, I am your son, I am your daughter, and I will be with you always. As you promised to be with me to the end of ages, I promise to be with you also to the last minute of my life. Sometimes we want to withdraw from the people to be with God. Sometimes we should actually do that, because God taught us in the book of Matthew in chapter 6, verse 6, when he said, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So, do you really want to be with God sometimes, or you are busy in visitations and parties and having everybody at home, and you go to somebody and you can't sit by yourself for a while with your family to have the family altar? Start reading the Bible. Pray together. Speak together about God. about his wonderful miracles that are happening in our life every day. Every single day and every single moment, there is a miracle that's happening. You don't have to see something like physical appear all of a sudden. For you to be alive, it is a miracle. You are still able to breathe on your own, it is a miracle. To move your hand, to move your foot, it is a miracle. To drive your car, it is a miracle. To see the sun, it is a miracle. So God proves that He is God. And you ought to spend some time with Him. You ought to teach your family that this is the one and only one true God. So do you believe that He is God, or you are so busy with your own life and your work schedule and your activities and your games and other stuff, and God will be the last on your list? Where is God in your life? Is He God? If He is, He should be number one. The third question, if Jesus is Lord, do you really trust Him? Do you fully trust Him? Do you have all your trust in Him? As you heard the book of Mark in chapter 14, it says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And you wonder how come that Saint Mark mentioned the word Abba. As you know, Abba, like in our Arabic word, Baba, real dad. It is not like just a father. If you have an elder or a priest, you call him father. It's completely different. There is an intimate relationship, the love relationship between the son and the father. That means I am and him are one. And we have this relationship that is much more than what you expect. So we are looking at the one who is crucified for you, that he is the one and only one God. And if you call him Abba or Father, that means he will always have this great intimate love relationship with you. He will never leave you suffer or never let you go through a hard time unless God permits it. God does not bring any hard time to his children. He can permit things that come from outside, because outside is bad already. Satan is working in people outside to upset you. God can let that come to you because he knows that you will benefit. You will become a much better person. You will be much stronger. You will have the experience that you will share with your children later on, your family, your friends. And maybe you could be a support for someone who is suffering because you went through it. If you ask anyone who lost a dad or a mom or a brother or sister or a husband or wife, they would have a much better feeling about losing someone because they went through it. They can tell you, they share with you what went through. They tell you, we know what you went through. It is not just like a mental knowledge. It is a true knowledge from the heart and from the mind. That's exactly our God for us. He knows us inside out, and He loves us so much, and He will never leave anyone alone. So do you trust Him or you don't? For example, do you trust every word and every single commandment and every verse that was written in the Bible or not? Just came to my mind a story that I read some time ago about a couple who did not have children. And of course, they were praying to have children, but God did not allow them to have biological children. But they were very, very good people. Good Christian ones. They were very good servants. They used to go to church all the time and serve. And everybody knows that couple to be such a good Christian family. So one time they heard knocking on the door, and the lady went to open the door, and she found a boy, and he stood and like not able to speak. She knew that this boy was from a poor family, like two blocks from her house. And she kept looking at him, waiting for him to ask a question. Then he did not. Then she said, can I help you in any way? Then he said, can I have a cup of water? The lady understood that maybe he wanted to eat or something, but he was shy to ask for it. She went inside. She came back with a cup of milk instead of water. And she saw the boy was drinking, like really missing it, as if he did not drink milk for a long time. And after he finished, ran away, did not wait. She was planning to bring him some food. So time went by, and after 30 years, the husband died and the lady was by herself, and the priest used to go from time to time to visit. And one time he went to visit the lady and she was really sick, and he told her, please let me take you to the hospital. She said, no, I am sorry, I can't go. So the priest asked, why not? She said, because we don't have money. After my husband passed away, I don't have any source of income. He said, no, I must. I can't leave you this way. He called 911. She took her to the emergency. A doctor came in and he said, you must have a surgery right now, otherwise you will die. The lady got angry and she said, no, I can't. The doctor asked, why not? She said, I can't pay for it. He said, no, don't worry about payment. So he took her to the operation room. He done the surgery. Second day he went to check on her. She was in perfect shape. Then she said, doctor, but thank you, but how can I pay for it? He smiled and he said, it has been already paid for you. He left. Then the nurse said, don't worry, it has been done. She said, why? She said, the doctor who was here left you this note. She started to read the note, and the note said, I am sorry to say thank you 30 years later. I am the boy who gave me the cup of milk 30 years ago. All your bills are paid and not worry about a penny. This is exactly what was said in the book of Matthew in chapter 10, that if you give someone a cup of cold water, God will never forget this one. You will have the wage of this one. How about a cup of milk or more? How about time that you give to the Lord? So if you believe in Him, do you trust that every single word and promise that you receive, you really will receive? Or are you like everybody else trying to use his mind to run away from God? The fourth and the last one, if Jesus is Lord, do you see his encouragement and his support? Remember, the Lord was really courageous and he was very strong. Can you imagine for a moment, if you are sick and you are tired, that you would worry about anybody else? The time the Lord was dying on the cross, he did not forget his mother. He did not forget his disciples, like John, the beloved. He did not forget everybody else. And even after resurrection, he did not forget Peter, who denied him, and he came to support him and return him back and restore his apostolic position. In his hard time, he was dying, he was scourged twice on that day, and he was walking between Pilate and Herod, back and forth. When Judas and the soldiers came to arrest him, remember what he said to the disciples, he was not afraid. He said, rise, let us be going, see my betrayer is at hand, he's very close to here. He was not afraid, and he doesn't ever want his children to be afraid. You shall have no fear in your heart, no matter what happens. God died on the cross for you. There is nothing more than that. There is no greater love than this. There is no one can ever show you his love unless they really can go the distance of sacrificing themselves for you. That's what is expected between husbands and wives, for example, and inside the family. And God was so strong to teach us from the beginning, from the Old Testament, that we should also be courageous like him. From time to time I get phone calls from our children here, someone who was distressed or having a problem with someone at work, and I used to tell them, please read Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6. And I do not say what the verse says, because I want them, when they read it, they get the message. Please now listen to what the verse says. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. God died on the cross not to say, I have done my job, that's it. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you, even if you leave him as the disciples did at Gethsemane. Just admit, confess, and believe that Lord Jesus is our God, the one and only one God. And go with him to Gethsemane, struggle with him, feel his loneliness so you do not leave him alone anymore. Trust and be courageous like him. because he always support you. As he said, I will be with you. I will go with you anywhere you go. You will never go to, for example, a job interview or to the hospital or anywhere, and you will be by yourself. You will be missing the big part of faith that God is with you where you go. And make sure that when you pray, you say the same that the Lord said today, not as I will, but as you will. And glory be to God now and forever and ever. Amen.